So, Rabbosai, tonight we start with the Morinayim. And the Morinayim here in Parz Ve'era goes through a very familiar theme, which he talks about in many places, and that is about the Golos Mitzrayim. The Golos Mitzrayim, he says time and again, is that the Yesod of Golos Mitzrayim is that in Mitzrayim, the Das was in Golos. It's not so much that their bodies and the people were in Golos, but rather it's the Das. Their brains were in Golos. They didn't know. They were in Katnas HaMoichen. And Katnas HaMoichen means that they did not get pleasure out of Avodas Hashem. There's no bigger Katnas HaMoich than to think there's another pleasure in the world than serving Hashem. And therefore Mitzrayim is called Meitzar Yam. It's a very narrow sea that really, just like, shall we say, sailing is a geshmak azach. You just go by itself sailing. You just float. The wind goes into the sails and you go. So to a person who understands what Avodas Hashem is, so he has a gewaltig simcha, tremendous tainuk. Just existing, just being alive is a tainuk. Because you feel you're constantly connected with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Just knowing that there's a Rabbeinu, there's a creator, and I'm his creation, that's called Godless Hamoichim. That's Olam HaTainuk. That's being Mechuber with your Shoyrish. And that's called Hamtokas Adinim. And the tzaddik, when he has Hamtokas Adinim, he realizes that the entire, just like he has a connection with the Bari Olam, he has a connection with the entire Bria. The Yesod of Golos is that the word really is that Golos means that I'm estranged from myself and I don't even realize how big I am. Golos is that I'm afraid to recognize how great I am. That's what Golos really means. Period. Golos means that I am alienated, estranged from myself, because I don't feel I'm close enough to the Rabbeinu Shalom. I'm afraid to believe that I'm so great. You hear? Golos means to the extent that I am far from God and far from myself, and the extent that I'm far from myself and far from Hashem, I don't realize that the whole world was created for me, and the whole Bria is at my beck and call, and Hashem made the whole world for me, and I feel so close to the Rabbeinu Shalom. I feel like I'm one with the Rabbeinu Shalom. So Das, you might say that Das means is to be mechuber, to be attached. Like it says, Ba'adam and Chav, it says, Ve'yeda Adam is Ishtoi, and Adam knew his wife. There means he knew her intimately. Das of Hashem means to have an intimate relationship with Hashem. I feel that I and God are one. I don't feel separate from God. If I think that there's a God and there's me, there's you and me, and you are you and I am I, and God is God and I am I, and there's a separation, that's already called Katnas HaMoichen. Then I can't enjoy life. If I am God, it's an awesome thought. I and God are one. I am a chubber to the Shayrish. We are so close. It's like Hashem is my shadow, and Hashem is my nose, and Hashem is my fingers. Hashem is totally attached to me, and I'm totally attached to Hashem. That's Das. That's love. That's what you call it's. And life, just being alive every moment, is a gewaltig zach. Because I'm with the Rabbeinu Shalom. What a thrill! What a thrill! Imagine if you were king for a day. Today, no one gets excited about being a king. I don't know what people get excited to. I don't know what would people get excited for. To be chesnes, really, to be king for a day. Once upon a time, king for a day. Queen for a day was a big thing. Today we are mechuber. We are with who would you want to be? If you had a choice, who would you want to be? Gedalia, just use your imagination. You have a choice for a day. You could be any person in the world you want to be. I know you want to be the square rebbe. I see it all over your face. So Gedalia wants to be the square rebbe. And he wants to be the Spinker Rebbe. You want to be Reb Chaim Kanievsky for a day. Gan's fine. So to be Reb Chaim Kanievsky for a day. Baruch Hashem, that's Yiddish HaSagas day. To be Reb Chaim Kanievsky for a day. Mr. Cohen wants to be Reb Yasha for one day. That's who he wants to be. He really wants to be Reb Segel from Manchester for a day. Can you imagine one day? Yes, that's an interesting thing to think about. What would it be to like to be Reb Chaim Kanievsky for a day? Awesome. Well, as great as Reb Chaim is, the Rabbanu Shlomo is greater. Yeah. And we are all God for not a day, but for a lifetime. We're totally mechubar to God. And the goal of Mitzrayim was, if you look at me puzzled, and you don't comprehend that, that is called Golus. Because to know who I really am is the time that called Tanugim, that's really living, that's called really being alive. And once a person would experience the thrill of being totally connected to Hashem, he wouldn't want any other timing in the world. Because Hashem is everything. What do you need anything else for? And that's the pshat when it says, V'hafza Hashem l'kecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol moedecha. You should love God with everything you have. Everything He gives you, just love God. Totally. As a matter of fact, the Dalet of Echad says the Morinayim, says the Heiliger Rebbe, the Dalet of Echad, the Aleph Ches means like to be a brother with God. And the Dalet is, Dalet Mises Bezdin. That Ki Alecha Iragnu Kol Hayom. I feel so, nothing intimidates me. Even if you would give me the four different depths of Bezdin, I wouldn't be scared. I wouldn't be turned off. I wouldn't be afraid. Because I want Dal Kiddush Hashem. So actually, I just saw in the Sefer Yismach Yisrael, Yismach Yisrael's yard site, I think is going to be, I think on Friday, if I'm mistaken. So that's the Alexander Rebbe. So the Yismach Yisrael says, he asks the question essentially, the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, we talked about last night, the Rambam Mor Nevuchim says that if a, and Reb Chaim Volozhiner brings it down, that if a person would totally concentrate on Hashem, and say, Ein Od Mavad, there's nothing but Hashem. There's nothing but Hashem in the whole Bria. If a person would totally concentrate on Hashem, and know there's nothing but Hashem, then nothing could harm him. The person would be impervious to any harm whatsoever. Ein Od Mavad, it's only the Rabbanu Shlomo. So he asked the question, so how could it be that Rabbi Akiva could die on Kiddush Hashem? How could it be that the Goyim, the Romans, could rip his flesh to pieces and kill him? But the Rambam says, that if a person would concentrate on Hashem all the time and know there's nothing but God, he would be impervious to any damage. And if the Rambam knew this, or Bekiva certainly knew this, or Reb Chaim Volozhiner knew this, and the Brisker Rav lived like that, so the Rambam is passing that a person who is not Mesiach Das from the Rabbanu Shlomo for a second can never be hurt by any force in the world. So Avadi and Reb Akiva knew that. So how could Reb Akiva be destroyed by the Romans? The answer is, he says, that's Gufim Shat, that the Talmidim asked Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva said, Rebbeinu, Ad Kan, what's happening to you? How can they hurt you? That's the Gemara says, they asked him a question, what's going on? And he said, that's exactly what his answer was. Kol Yoma Yayisim Estari Al Pasuk Zeh. My entire life I was waiting to die Al Kiddush Hashem. B'chol Nafshecha. I wanted to give my nefesh to Rabbi Shalom. You're right, if I wanted, I could make myself impervious to the Goyim. But I don't want to make myself impervious to the Goyim. I really want to die in Kiddush Hashem. I don't feel any pain, by the way. The Maram and Rambam says that once a person makes up his mind to die in Kiddush Hashem, he's not going to feel any pain. So he didn't feel any pain in Rebbe Akiva. But he knows they're killing him. So they asked him, how can this happen? How can they hurt you? Don't you know the Rambam? He says, yeah, I know the Rambam, but my entire life I was waiting to let the Goyim kill me so I should die in Kiddush Hashem. And here it is. But he let it happen. Well, he didn't ask them to kill him. But since he did the terrible sin by them of having yeshiva publicly, and they wanted to kill him, so once he wanted to kill him, he had no problem with that. It's like the story of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon was in jail also. His enemies had him put in the jail for false charges. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner came to visit him and said to his Rebbe, Rebbe, you know, Kabbalah Masis, you could get out of here. So they say the right name and you'll fly out of here. What are you staying in jail for? She said, what's the problem? He said, well, they're going to kill you. He says, great, I'll die Kiddush Hashem. But then he said, no, they're going to come up with very miyasid charges against you. They have some very nasty things they want to say about you. There'll be a chil Hashem if they even say it about a Talmud Chacham. I told him what they wanted to say about him. Oh, no, he said, no. That talk could be a chil Hashem. Don't worry about it. The Vilna Gaon just went out to the court wearing his tefillin. And then they saw the Vilna Gaon tefillin. He was making the pasuk of the guy will see Hashem's name is on you. They'll fear you, be terrified of you. They saw his tefillin. They just said, get out of here, leave. He said, no problem. So the Vilna Gaon had no problem being released in jail. But the Chachila, he didn't have a problem dying because of Hashem. Other Rabbi, like Rabbi Kiva, I was looking forward to it. You don't ask to die because of Hashem. You don't come to the guy and say, please kill me. But if you did some kind of, if circumstances have come about that you'll die, so great people have no fear. The kids are getting back to the Hevel Gemara Nayim. He says you should know that all nisyanis are nisyanis against our das. Again, das means that I feel that I'm totally attached to the Rabbanu Shalom. There's no separation between Hashem. Goals with Shraim is that you did not feel makusha to the Eibishter. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakol Nieh B'dvaro. That's a pshat that didn't listen to Moshe Mikaitzer Ruach. That Kaitzer Ruach means they didn't have this braid kite. A yid has to have a braid kite. Braid kite means I am great. Braid kite means a braid kite, the big. I'm great. I'm a chubber to the Rabbanu Shalom. Hashem made the world for me. I'm with the Bria. I'm with the Bari Olam. I know I'm great. I'm gevaltik. The whole world's made for me. That's good. I'm very humble. That doesn't mean I can't be humble with that. I'm humble because I'm not doing, since the world's made for me, I could use the whole world to serve Hashem. I'm not using it enough. I'm not doing an enough job. But the fact is that das means hiskashrus. Azoy zok the Hevel Gemara Nayim. Again and again. Das is hiskashrus. Das is to be makusha to the Eibishter all the time. Now the avais, they're makusha to the Rabbanu Shalom. Under all circumstances. Bein b'tivu, bein b'oku. Side things went good, side things went bad. And l'maisa, in Mitzrayim, the Yidden slipped out of this. And that was the purpose of the 10 makas of Mitzrayim. The 10 makas were to show, to give the Yidden das. The 10 makas, he says, weren't primarily to hurt the Mitzrayim. And the 10 makas weren't necessarily to free the Yidden. The purpose of the 10 makas was to give Seichel and Das to Klal Yisrael, Soit HaDas, that they should see that there are bunches of everywhere. He's in the sand, he's in the water, he's in the blood, he's in the kingdom, he's in the Orev, he's in the Dever. The bunch was everywhere. And then he says, Amir de Gazach. He says, Lamaisa, by the makas, Moshe and Aaron in general were warning Paro in advance. Some yes, some not, some, but really there was Asra. Why did there have to be Asra? He says, because Asra is a Amir de Gazach. He says, by Mises Beis, and this is a Chiddush Gadol. He says, by Mises Beis, we know you have to have Asra. All Chayvim Mises, you have to have Asra. The Eidim have to give Asra. You know why? Because I'll just lecture to the Kasha. The Gemara, one man of the Gemara says that Talmud Chacham doesn't require Asra. Because he knows already. A regular person, you tell him, don't be Mechal Shabbos. If you do that, this is Chil Shabbos. You should know. You don't know. Did you know that sowing is Asra on Shabbos? Not that you knew. Did you know that ripping is Asra on Shabbos? Oh, Yid could know it's not ripping. I'm sure there's a lot of Jews who maybe don't drive the shul on Shabbos. They don't know that Korea is a malacha. They don't know that ripping toilet paper is also deraisa. Ripping the toilet paper to a certain, especially if you rip it on the, you rip it to a certain midas. It's kriya, it's Korea, it's deraisa. A lot of people don't know things. They don't know that if something's not fully cooked and you cook it, then where it's not tender soy yet and you shake it on Shabbos, you'd make hagosa. You just stir in the pot. It's on the fire already. They don't know. Is this a deraisa of bishul? Some people don't know that if you turn the hot water faucet on Shabbos, it's your mevashel. They don't know everything. But a Talmud Chacham knows. So a Talmud Chacham does not have to be warned. That's why I'm on Dhamma the Gemara. The Rambam, we pass him though that even a Talmud Chacham, he knows all the halachas, he starts to be warned. This is an Issa D'Raisa, don't stir up the pot. And if you do it, you're going to get Mises Beis, you're going to get Skila. You have to be warned. Why? If the whole purpose of Asra is to tell the person he's doing an Aveira, he knows an Aveira. So, the Pajr shot is that even the Talmud Chacham knows it, but it could be it's not so clear to him. In other words, you know, but it's not so sharp. I know there's a Chi of Misa, but whenever the Eitzar gets me, I'm in denial. I say, it's not so terrible, maybe it's okay, whatever, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm fatigued, I got a cup of water, this gefel is like a grama, maybe I'm just trying to force it on, it's going to cook by itself, it's not direct bishul, maybe it's a grama, this gefel. So even the Talmud Chacham, you have to make it clear to him, and make it very sharp that it's aser. In other words, to have the level of viciousness, the level of mazed, the level of intentional, guilty rebellion against Hashem, it's only if you do that aveira immediately after being warned and being told about the severity of the aveira. In other words, even a Talmud Chacham who knows the law, but to feel the impact, to feel it strongly, to feel it sharply, to feel it that it should scare him, that requires a hasra, a warning immediately before doing that aveira. So Pajr Shad is we pass and Talmud Chacham requires hasra, because not enough to have in your head, you have to have in your heart. The hasra is sort of like makes him really scared, and it makes it vivid, and makes it stronger on him. Like this, it can be, he knows it, but it's not so meaningful. It's not so powerful. But the Mori Leib says a different pshat entirely. He says the pshat is that there's a special skula azah that when the Edom give hasra, when the Edom warn you, so this gives das to the potential criminal. A das means it makes them a kusher to their banish them. And the real sin of Chil Shabbos is not so much the Chil Shabbos, that you mechal the Shabbos, is that you mechalel your hiskashrus with their banish them. Because Hashem said that Shabbos is a way of being a kusher with me. And if you're going to mechal Shabbos, you're breaking off our relationship. You're breaking off our hiskashrus. So the Edom, by giving Hasra, right before the Aveir is done, they said, listen, we're telling you, what you're doing over here is you're breaking your Keshu with their Banishtom. By the very words we're saying right now, is strengthening your bond with their Banishtom. If you're going to do this Aveir, you're cutting it off, you're cutting off Hashem, that's like death. That's exactly why you deserve death, because you're doing an act of death. You're committing suicide, almost, by doing this Aveir. And you committed spiritual suicide, you cut your eskashas off, Chil Shabbos, and it's like you have a body without a soul now. The soul you killed away with the Aveira. You don't have eskashas with the Rebbeinu. And now we're going to end it off by killing you in Beis with Skila as well. I'm just fleshing out what he's saying. That's what he means to say. That the Asra, Chavimisas and Mimisachi, Yachnisu lehem hadas, the Edom Hamas from Isam. Umadiyim lahem ayde diburim hadas. Luli asra. Even though it's been mazed, it's below das. You can be mazed without das. Without askashas to the banishlam. The taina of the aveir is because you ruined your kesher. So for that we have to give you a warning right away and say, don't do this to yourself. Meri de gazach. In Mitzrayim, the Esther Makkah is also, with Megala, the Sayyid Hadas. But every Makkah that hit the Mitzrayim, the Yidden had a new level of kiskashus with the Rabban Shalom. Hashem's doing this for me. Hashem is going through all this effort, making this awesome nationwide dam, wherever you turn this dam, wherever you turn this kingdom, wherever you turn this oro. It's awesome. I feel so much kushar to the Rabban Shalom. The purpose of the Makkas wasn't to hurt the Mitzvah. It wasn't to liberate the Yidden. It was to give Yidden a new level of das, iskashus with the Rabban Shalom. This is the essential less than the Heintek Parashim from the morning night. Comes along the Kedushas Levi. What does the Kedushas Levi have to tell us here in Heintek Parashim? So the Kedushas Levi, it seems, is continuing on this theme. And what's he saying? He's like, Zogt der Kedushas Levi. Azoy. Zogt der Azoy. Parshas Vayera. Oh, he says, the parsha begins. The era. Let's read it inside. The parsha begins the era El Avraham El Yitzchak Vel Yaakov Be'el Shaddai Ushmi Adonai Loi Neidati Lohem. So the Morinayim is very, I mean, the Kedushas Levi is being very medactic in the words. Va'era, the oven says Va'era, right? Va'era, I was seen, I made myself visible to them with the name Kel Shakai. But Shmi Hashem, but the name of Hashem Yudke Vavke, Loi Nedati. So the Shem Shakai is the name that God was visible to the Avos, the Eira. But Yediya means Yudke Vavke. You hear it, Nachum. The Pasuk says, the Eira Lavoi, El Avram Yitzav Yankov, Be'el Shaddai. So the name Shaddai is the name of Ria, of seeing. God said, I was seen by them. I made myself visible to them. I appeared to them. But Shmi Hashem, Loi Nedati Lehem, the name whereby you don't just see me, you get to know me, Loi Nedati Lehem, with Shmi Yudke Vavke. Yudke Vavke is the shame of Yediyah. And he explains the same thing, that there's a difference between Re'iyah and Yediyah. It's very similar to the words of the Morinayim. When you read both, you see the relationship. Stamazay wouldn't. If you read, you learn one after the other, you see it. That Ria means that I'm looking at something outside of me. There's Hashem and there's me. And that means that my knowledge of Hashem is incomplete. We know the name Shaddai is Lashon Aniyu Shamarti Dai. Hashem said, enough. I will not be Megal myself totally in the world. The name Shaddai represents the fact that the Rebbe Hashem, when he created the world, did not fully reveal himself in this world. He said, die. He said to the world, stop. Don't become a perfect world. Don't be megalomy entirely. Ushmi. So the Eri Lava said, the Abbas, it was Ria. Because the Abbas, he only had the name Shaddai. The name of Shaddai is the name of limitation. When we have a limited relationship with the Rebbe Hashem, and we're not so close to the Rebbe Hashem, we don't have a full kesher with the Rebbe Hashem, then we just see. I see Hashem all over the world. It's not evolution. Of course I see God. I see God in butterflies. I see God in rainbows. I see Hashem all over. But there's God and there's me. There's Rebbe Hashem and there's me. It's two separate things. Because we're not Mekusher as one. So it's Riyah. Because it's Shaddai. Shaddai means it's not the Ganze Zach. Hashem King, when you know the name Yudke Vavke, Yudke Vavke is the name, the real name of Hashem. That's the Ganze Nomen of the Rebbe Hashem. That's the highest thing that a man can comprehend is Yudke Vavke. Their talk is Yediyah. For the Ova is Ushmi Hashem Loina Datlem. Since I didn't use the Shem Yudke Vavke, the full name, therefore what, they didn't have Yediyah. They had Riyah. I am I, so to speak, and they are they. But to you, Maisha, you have Yediyah. And that's what he says, what Aspaklar Yamir means. Aspaklar Yamir means, Maisha Ben, the Gemara says in Yavamas Mentes, that Kol Nevi'im Misnavi V'Aspaklar Yashen Amira, and Maisha Ben Aspaklar Yahami'ira, Aspaklar Yamir means that there's no separation between Moshe and Hashem, there's no Bechitza, there's nothing in the way, it's more than transparent, there's nothing there, and Moshe is totally mekusha with the Rebbe Shalom. The others didn't have that kesher. Didn't have that kind of kesher with the Rebbe Shalom. Otherwise it's called Riyah. So, again, he emphasizes again and again that Riyah, even Havana, even to understand Hashem, to know about Hashem, to talk about Hashem, to look at Hashem, to find Hashem, to use arguments, to prove there must be a God, philosophy, that's all a Loma Dragon. The ultimate drag is Yediyah. Yediyah is, he calls it not as kashrus, but as chavrus. Mamash and Zasan, very similar to the raid of the Morinayim. Yediyah is as chavrus. Like it says, v'yeid adam. And as chavrus is l'malam and oisius. He says, if you're in the Olam Ariya, you're still knowing the Rebbeinu Shalom through the oisius atayra. That's not the highest madrega. The oisius atayra, again, you have to look at the oisius. You're looking for something. It's a message. If there's a message about Hashem, that means there's Hashem and there's me. And I want to learn about Hashem. He's outside of me. The Isis is not the highest madrega. To learn Torah through the Isis is not the highest madrega. The klaf is a higher madrega. The klaf is nothing there. There's nothing there. There's nothing in the way. There's nothing in the way. It's the Mari de Gazak. Sometimes we know too much because our brains are so full of knowledge. There's no room for amuna pshuta. Amuna pshuta doesn't mean that you're some farmer, some country bumpkin. Amuna pshuta means, you know, I don't need all these letters anymore in my head. I don't need all these proofs. I don't have to say, oh, I believe in God because I read a book about evolution and Torah. I said, the evolution, it's so silly, evolution. I believe in Hashem because there couldn't be an evolution. And look at this animal. Look at your eyes, look at your brain. It's such an awesome thing. It couldn't evolve by itself. That's very nice. But that's knowing about Hashem through Isis. That's knowing Hashem through Ria and through Havana, understanding of my brain, vision. These are all functions of the brain. That's not the highest madrega of knowing Hashem. The highest madrega is my mind is a blank. I just know, Mipsari Echsel Akim. I just know Hashem is filling me up. I am one with Hashem. I'm a Kush Azir Bashna. I don't need proofs. I don't need the Mar Nevuchim. I don't need Arachim seminars to tell me the proof to me. I need the biblical codes. And codes is awesome. Wow, the codes. And look at the letters. There's 56 letters this way and 56 that way. And it's Gval. Look at that code. It's Meredic. I don't want to. Two codes, but it doesn't mean anything to me. That's a low level of relationship with Hashem. That's Ria. That's Shaddai. That's limitation. That's Dai, enough. The higher Madrega is Yediya, which means Hischabras, Hiskashas. I just, every second of my life is a joy. I know that I'm a creation of the Creator. I am a Nivra of the Bari Olam. Just being. I'm a human being, not a human doing. I'm just happy. I feel every second is the Rabbein Shalom. Every breath I take is call on the Shama Dal El Ka. I'll call the Shema the Shema. Every breath is a Machaya. And with that, gentlemen, I'll tell you a story. Can I tell you a story? I'll tell you one more Kedushas Levi. I'll tell you a Kedushas Levi story. How's that? Best thing with Yosef and Mr. Coleman's Maskim. And we'll tell a Kedushas Levi story. Kedushas Levi story. Before I get to Kedushas Levi story, I'll just tell you one last Shtickle Torah, which I think fits in also with this Mahalach. And that's also Kedushas Levi from the Likutim, and the Likutim Kedushas Levi in the third Chelik over here. So, he tells him, Hein Geparish, it also says, Hashem promises Bnei Yisrael, he says, Vevesi Eschem El Oretz, Asher Nasasi Es Yodi. Hashem says, I'll bring it to the land about which I raised my hand. Right. Satan Pasuk. Right in the beginning of the parasha. Vevesi eschem al oretz, asher nasasi es yodi laseisa sa, lavram liyitzav Yaakov. I'll bring it to the land. I lifted up my hands. I promised it to Avram Yitzav Yaakov. There's a very famous lashon. Rashi says, Hari Mosia li shava b'kisi. I would never take notice of this, Rashi. Who would ever pay attention? Hashem is saying that I'm going to bring it to the land that I raised my hands up to Avram Yitzhak Yaakov as a promise. Says Rashi, I raised my hand to swear with the Kisei HaKavod. And then sometimes we find, what does it mean? So the question is, what does it mean lifting up your hands? We find lifting up the hands also by Nesias Kapayim. And the Kaham Ducha is called Nesias Kapayim, lifting the hands. The opposite of that is called Nefilas Apayim, Tachnon. The mamish opposite of Nesias Kapayim is Nefilas Apayim. Tachnon is called Nefilas Apayim, falling on your face, on your nose. So you have Nesias Kapayim, Nefilas Apayim. What's the difference? He says, that's the pshat. That when I'm touching it up, that when a person wants to get to the highest madrega of Yediyah of the Rebbein Shalom, the highest level of Iskashrus, exclusivity, that I have an exclusive on the Rebbein Shalom, that's called raising your hands. Eretz Yisrael, Hashem raises his hand, means to say that Hashem uses Eretz Yisrael to give us the highest level of Iskashrus to him. And the Siyas Kapayim, again, the Kahanim, their bracha is lifting up to the highest place of the Kisei HaKavod. We were totally mechubar to the Rebbein Shalom. And the opposite of that is the field of Zapayim. What the field of Zapayim is, they fall on my face because I am, what am I, what's Tachna all about? Hashem, forgive me for my sins. And the field of Zapayim is the sense that I did not go to the highest place. I did not veir that broke my eschabras with the Rabbanu Shalom. And that's Nefilas Apayim. Nesias Kapayim, Nesias Yadayim is the pshat that I am striving to be in a place where I'm totally mechubar to the Rabbanu Shalom. Eretz Yisrael is the perfect place to feel that I'm one with Hashem. If you don't feel like that, in Chutz Laretz, it's not Sakash on you, because it's Chutz Laretz. And you can live in the Heilige Shikun Skevira, it's Shaykh. It's better than Eretz Yisrael, you're maskim. Eretz Yisrael is more holy. It's a gewaltig holy place. But the Maisa, if it would be in Eretz Yisrael, it would be even holier. So, the Filas Apayim is where we're bemoaning the fact that we fell from our Madrega. And the Chatoim are separating us. Right? Tachnun is all about my sins. And that I have fallen. So the Filas Apayim is the Ehepech of the Nesias Kapayim. Nesias Kapayim means I was Zeichet the Das. I was Zeichet the Mischaber the Rabbanu Shalom. Nesias Kapayim is that we, the Kahanim bless us, that we should be Zeichet to have this Mischaber with the Rabbanu Shalom. The Filas Apayim is the confession that I fell and I broke my Mischaber to the Rabbanu Shalom. So let me conclude tonight, gentlemen, with a story from the Heilige of Levi Yitzhar Baditchev. I have a friend who comes visits me once or twice a year from Yerushalayim. A very interesting person, is a Talmud Chacham. And this Yid, who has a lot of challenges, sick children, other things, he's a very chashuv Yid. His name is Yaakov Yosef Wurzberger. And he lives in Yerushalayim Rakhaydish, but when he signs his name here on the safe, he writes Yaakov Yosef Wurzberger, Berditchev Yerushalayim. Because he became a Pesaganza Berditchever. He spends a lot of time in Berditchev. And he davens there, and he writes Svarim there, and he claims he's done a lot of Yeshuas in Berditchev. Is that fine, Yigamal? Very Choshev, Yigamal, Talmud Chacham. He just came to visit me a few days ago. And he has quite a few Svarim, very interesting Svarim. And he just came with a new Svarim called Sanigarin Shel Yisrael, which generally, that's the terminology that's used for Reb Levi Yitzchak, Sanigarin Shel Yisrael, the defender of Klai Yisrael. But this particular sefer is called Tairasa Shel Rabbi Meir. What's that Tairasa Shel Rabbi Meir? It's Reb Meir of Hosakov, who is the father of Levi Yitzchak. He knew that. You know Reb Levi Yitzchak's mother's name. That you know. Everyone knows his mother's name was Sarah Sasha. Alev Eisen of Levi Yitzchak, he's called Reb Levi Yitzchak and Sarah Sasha. But his father's name is not so well known. Meir Hosakov, also Tzaddik. So, a very interesting sefer, a lot of interesting things about his father, Levi Yitzchak. And he has a story here about Levi Yitzchak. And the story goes that the Kedushas Levi came to learn in the yeshiva of the Rebbe Shmelka. The Rebbe Shmelka was a generation before Levi Yitzchak. Levi Yitzchak died in around 1800 or so. Rebbe Shmelka died young. He died at the age of 52. And he died, I think, in the 1770s yet. So he was a generation. He was a generation earlier, you might say, than Rebbe Levi Yitzchak. And Rebbe Levi Yitzchak came to his yeshiva one day for Shacharis. And Rebbe Shmelka used to daven with a Meredith Slavas, screaming. And Levi Yitzchak picked up his lahavas from the Rebbe of Shmelka. So here, the Kedushas Levi comes into davening. He's wearing his talis, of course, and he's wearing not one, but two pairs of tefillin. He wore Rashi and Me'atam together. Right? So, like I said in Simon Lama Dalet, that he raised Shemayim, the sheets of Rashi and Me'atam, and wear two pairs simultaneously. And heaven's in that I want to be yaitzi with the one that's Aliba Dilsa, whichever it is a Rashi or Ben Tam. So that's what That's what Reb Levi Yitzchak used to do. So, fine. So he came in, looked like a very heilig yid, talis over the cup, two pairs of tefillin. But before he went into the shul, the daven, the yeshiva, the daven, he made a detour. And on the way in, he went over to the kitchen where they were cooking. And sure enough, he finds the Rebbetzin, the Rebbe of Shmelke, and she's cooking for lunch, getting ready for lunch. So the Rebbetzin was amazed that the person looks like a Talmud Chacham, Talis, two pairs of tefillin, and is coming into the kitchen. But the Rebbetzin didn't pay much attention, and he's asking the Rebbetzin, "Nus, what's for lunch?" She says, "Oh, whatever, potatoes. What else?" "This and this. Carrots." "What else?" And he's looking at all the pots, picking up the lids, looking at it. He's making a whole ace with Ben Tom's tilling, the Rashi's tilling. He's looking in the pots, picking up the lids, and very in the menu. So again, she didn't pay so much attention. And then he asked her, "Are you sure you're a good cook? And the rest of the girls working are good cooks? I mean, you know, you have good cooks. Are you good cooks?" "You're good cooks." "Yeah." She answered all those questions. Seasonings, spices, salt, condiments, you know, do things right. "Yeah." Everyone was watching what was going on. They couldn't understand. It's an amazing thing. Then he went into the base medrash by Shmelke, and he saw in the back of the shul some tzebrach and a yid wearing shmatas, a real lo yutzlich, a real shlemazel, and he's talking with this tzebrach and the beggar. Dvarim shel mabakach, you know, stam dvarim betalim. How's the weather? "Oh, that's just, you like snuff? What's your favorite snuff? You like that's very nice." And then tell me, so do you have enough firewood in your house? And this, that, all kinds of questions. Stam dvarim shel mabakach. People couldn't understand it. Then they started to daven, and They saw he davened with the Gevaltige Slavas, like the Rebbe of Shmelke, but they were very surprised. He has a man, two pairs of tefillin, looks like a very heilig yid, goes into the kitchen, has all these narish and dvarim tefillin, cooks to the beggar dvarim tefillin. Didn't make sense. When finally lunchtime came around, and the Rebbe of Shmelke is eating lunch that was prepared long ago, and he sees the Kedushas Levi, and he runs over and gives him shalom, gives him kavod, gevaltik, and they eat together, mamash, from one plate. Talmidim saw the kavod that the Rebbe gave to this unknown guest. It was a big pella. And they asked the Rebbe, "What's going on?" So the Rebbe Shmelke answered as follows. Zok the Gemara, the famous Gemara, tells us in Sukkah Daf Chav Ches, Omra Lava, Rebbe Yoichim, and Zakai, Miyamav, Leisach, Sichas, Chulin. He said, Rebbe Yoichim, and Zakai, that in his entire lifetime, he never spoke sichas chulin. He never spoke just profane words. He never spoke unholy words. Never happened. So the question is, frek the Rebbe Shmelke and the other Tanoyim Amroyim did speak sichas chulin? What's the big shvach? They never spoke. He never took unholy words. He only talked divrei Torah. Hey, legazachem. It's such a big thing. Hello. That which it says that Yechon and Zaka Miyam Vlei Soch Sichas Chulin, it means to say that not the Pshat Vlei Soch Sichas Chulin means you learn Pshat. He never spoke something which is Chulin. He never spoke something which is Choyl. That's not the Pshat. No, he did speak Divrei Choyl. The other Tanoim Rav Taka never spoke Divrei Choyl. They Taka were learning. When it came to eating or something, maybe they made Remiza, they made sign language or something. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did speak a lot of Sichas Chulin. He spoke about Narishkeit. He spoke about the pots and the pans and the kitchen and the chefs and the cooking and the baking and the sewing and every silly thing in the world. And he asked the poor man about a snuff box. But you should know that even though it looks like Sichas Chulin, it's not Sichas Chulin. It's Gevaltike Yichudim. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Miyomov. Miyama means in all his days. It could have just said, Vyachazak, but Sach Sichas Chulin. Period. He never spoke Sichas Chulin. No, it says Miyamav. Miyamav means from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, Miyamav, the entire day. He spoke things that could have looked like Sichas Chulin, things that looked like Ma'abekach, but really was doing big Yechudim with these things. And he was on the Madrega to keep his Moichin, the Godless, throughout the day. Because he was in Gansam and Kushu with the Rabbanu Shalom. He says most people, even big tzaddikim, they cannot be Mekushu with the Rabbanu Shalom, Yachid Yechudim more than 3 hours at a time. It's very difficult to go more than 3 hours. The Godless of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai Meyomav Laisach Sichas Chulin. His entire day, he could speak Saka Sichas Chulin, but it wasn't Sichas Chulin. He could speak about the pots and the pans and about every Dvarm Shal Mabakach, and speak about baseball, and speak about whatever you want. And that was his Godless, that despite the fact he's speaking these words, it's a Gansa Tug, it's not Sichas Chulin. It's really a vehicle for Yehuda. Forget he was challenging himself to speak about these things and still think about the Rabbanu Shalom. That's the biggest madrega. To speak about Narishkeit and still not to be distracted from thinking about the Rabbanu Shalom. It's still being Makusha. And this is Taka, this fits in beautifully. We learned everything we learned tonight. That a tzaddik and the proper madrega like Menachem over here never Mesir Dasa Rabbanu Shalom. Like the Rama Taka says over there in Mar Nevuchim. The Rama and the end of Mar Nevuchim, Chela Gimel, right? Perek Nanalev is that the godless of the Avos was that even though there were shepherds and even though they were taking care of the sheep, they were shearing the sheep and feeding the sheep and watering the sheep, they never, never, never for a minute broke their concentration on their Rabbanu Shalom. They had Yediyah. And Yediyah means Hiskashrus and Hiskabrus. And that was the godless of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, and that's the godless of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, that's the godless of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak. That's why he's so great. He can keep his moich on the ganze tog. Just like Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. He says, me, said Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, I can't go more than 3 hours. Can't. I'm like the rest of the Tanoim. I can really go 3 hours thinking about the Rabbanu Shalom while speaking Sichas Chulin. But Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, they have the Madrega that they can keep it up for a longer, longer time and not Sichas Chulin Biyamav. Okay, we'll stop here, gentlemen. And,